All right, everybody, welcome to FL Teams. We've got a USF Bulls season preview coming at you right now. And I am, of course, if you watch FL Teams, you probably should recognize me by now, Jeff Macalino. And we are joined by a special guest today, Kenny Morales. Kenny, how are you?
Good, Jeff. How you doing, man?
I am I'm excellent. I don't know whether this is going to come out before we get hit by a hurricane or after, but who cares?
Right, exactly.
Kenny, you know, before we get rock and rolling, football season is like, you know, Christmas basically for most Americans. And USF's about to get started this weekend against Western Kentucky. Before we talk about USF a little bit, obviously being a guest here on FL Teams, tell the FL Teams audience what's going on, where they can find you. We're not going to put our plugs at the end. We're going to plug you up front here.
I appreciate it. Yeah. So like I was telling you off camera just a little bit ago, so I've been working in local television for about 10 years, strictly sports, the past five of which I spent here in the Tampa Bay area working at Spectrum Bay News 9. I've shifted career paths now. However, I'm still, you know, very passionate about, you know, talking about sports and all that. So you can find me on Twitter at Kenny Morales TV. Chances are if you see me tweet something, it's about sports. And I just recently started a YouTube channel, Kenny Morales TV as well. And that's where you can find the first video I just let out, which was the video I think you were talking about that you saw, my USF season prediction video. When I went game by game and kind of gave, you know, a little breakdown of USF's opponents and how I think the Bulls will finish in 2023.
Yeah, which was educational to me because USF has a lot of new conference mates this year.
They do.
Not really familiar with.
No, I wasn't either. It took a lot of research on my part. It definitely for some of those smaller schools and smaller programs that I may not be too familiar with.
Yeah, well, I appreciate your research because it saved me some time.
Yeah, no problem. Happy to do it, man.
Yeah, that's what YouTube is for.
Exactly.
So diving into USF, obviously the big offseason for USF, they fired Jeff Scott before the end of last season. No offense to Jeff Scott, who seemed like a great guy, but a miserable tenure as head coach at USF. And frankly, USF's kind of been in a tailspin since Willie Taggart left. They did have a good year under Charlie Strong, but that was solely on the back of their quarterback, obviously, right, Quentin Flowers. Now, this USF team is not all that familiar, frankly, because, again, we were talking before we started recording, the new landscape of college football, a lot of guys like Brian Battee, who I was loved so much, you know, left for greener pastures, or as green pastures, I guess.
Neither here nor there.
Yeah. So there's not a lot of familiarity, frankly, with a lot of the skill position players, but the one position that USF brings back a couple of big guys and a couple of new big guys, is at quarterback. Which, you know, again, I'll fully say Quentin Flowers carried a team to a national ranking his senior season, despite bad coaching. so it is the most important position, especially in college football. Before we dive in, because we still don't know who the starter is a few days before the season starts, not officially at least, we're going to jump into an interview that we had here on FL Teams with Coach Golesh a few months ago. And see what he had to say about the quarterbacks. There's a lot of hope. Now, a lot of the skill position players that the fans may have been used to from the past couple of years have moved out. But there's also seemingly a overload of star power at the quarterback position. I mean, Bohannon, Brown, Archie, Izzy Carter. What's your vision with the quarterback? Is it just going to be blue collar? We're going to all compete, or what's your plan there at this point?
Yeah, I think, not to give you a token answer, but a little bit of the token answer is we're going to compete at every spot, but genuinely we're going to compete at every spot. Quarterback is one that I think it's funny here, just like everywhere else, but but you guys talk about years of success, right? And you throw out with those years of success, it's like, well, there's Matt Grothy, and then there was, you know, Quentin Flowers, and then there was BJ Daniels, and like you're combining really good teams with a really good quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
So it's pretty easy to understand that it starts with that spot, certainly offensively. You know, I'm really excited about Gary. You know, we haven't seen him full go yet. He's coming off the shoulder, the labrum in the fall. He's throwing the football now, which has been incredible to be able to see him get back into that. But that kid also, he legitimately took more reps than anybody else in the spring because he took every single 1, 2, and 3 rep from behind the whoever the quarterback that was in there, and literally took from the footwork to the drop to all of it behind us. So mentally, he's been incredible. Physically, he's really come along. Now it's just a matter of him getting back into what it is to be in, you know, under behind the center, and I almost said under center there for a sec. I don't know where I'm going with that, but it's really cool to actually see him. Like, he comes up here every morning and is just lit up because he's excited to be throwing again. So you know, his rehab has gone really well, and that's really a credit to him because of how hard he's worked at it. You know, and then Byron Brown, a young man that played in 2 games and really did a solid job offensively in 2 losses at the end of the year. And you know, like, his body of work was really interesting going in. I think he took a huge step this spring in every aspect, certainly as a leader, but I really think that Byron is one of the better athletes on this team, just in general, which I didn't know that. You know, you watch his high school film, you watch the last 2 games last year. He did a good job with a lot of different things, but I didn't know he was the athlete that he was. And we went through winter workouts, and I kept saying in our staff meeting, waiting for somebody to say, man, like, you're crazy. And everybody's like, yeah, he really is, really a phenomenal athlete. And he had a really good spring. He got better every day. Took a little step back in our first scrimmage, and then took a monumental step in his second scrimmage. And then I thought he had a good spring game and really commanded the offense really well. Then we brought Bryce Archie here, and Bryce is a young man that I had actually recruited at, like you said, down the road. And he was our top target there. We left, he goes to Coastal Carolina, and I was so excited to get him here because he ran a version of our offense in high school. He understands it. He sees the game in a really cool way, you know, high end baseball player too.
Well, so we talked before we started recording. Thank you, Coach Galesh, for joining us here on FL Teams. And I'm a heavy drinker, so I don't always remember specifically everything that everyone says. And I think, again, nobody knows who's going to be under center, so to speak. Right. I just did what he did. Yeah. Nobody knows who's going to be behind center for USF on Saturday. But I know I told you I was kind of hoping Brown would be the guy. And I'll just throw it to you to give your explanation as to who you think is going to be under center. And I think you're right based on what Coach Galesh said even a few months ago.
Yeah, my expectation is that Gary Bohannon will be QB1 to start the season at Western Kentucky. And I think the biggest reason is the fact that, you know, he has the most complete resume out of those quarterbacks. He's the guy that, you know, had a successful season at Baylor. You know, obviously last year didn't go as planned to start the year, but the last couple of games, I would say he looked pretty decent. You know, I was just looking at the stats again. He threw like 6 touchdowns, no picks, was completing more of his passes, getting the ball down more field, or getting the ball down a little bit more down the field. And then obviously, unfortunately, had that injury in the Tulane game, and that kind of threw a wrench in the plans there. But I love Byron Brown. I think like Coach Golish said, he is a heck of an athlete. I mean, we saw in that UCF game some of the big runs he made, especially that very last one. I think that was the go-ahead touchdown until obviously UCF came back. But, you know, I think overall Bohannon is the more veteran presence. I think that he is kind of the go-to guy for now. Maybe things will change. Who knows? Obviously, Byron Brown is a heck of a quarterback. So if something goes bad or goes awry, I think Coach Golish should feel pretty comfortable in you know, inserting him in there. But I think to start things off, it'll be Bo Hannon.
Yeah, and I hope there's a package or a plan for Brown to avoid, frankly, look at McClain.
Yep. You know. I mean, we just talked about it. If this is a situation now in today's college football world where Bo Hannon has that thing pretty much locked up, I mean, there are going to be a number of schools that would be interested in taking, you know, Byron Brown services if he were to go in the portal. We don't know. We have no idea. He's a great kid, comes from a great family. But remember, he's not a Florida kid either. He's a North Carolina guy. So who knows? Maybe one of those smaller schools up there or another school in that area maybe comes calling. Who knows?
It's interesting. And even, look, we mentioned Archie and Carter also. Mm-hmm. Like, USF has four quality quarterbacks. But frankly, looking at the rest of their roster, there's a lot of question marks. And it's like, yeah, boy, it's absolutely amazing that they were able to keep this many quarterbacks. And I think a lot of it's probably to do with Golesh and what he did with Hooker in Tennessee last year.
I think so, yeah. Absolutely. I think the success of, you know, what they were able to do with Hendon Hooker, and then obviously the years when, you know, Golish was at the school down the way, which I love that he says that because I'm a UCF alum. So I crack up every he says the school down the road. That's I think that's great. You know, the success with Dylan Gabriel and everything when Heupel was kind of running the show there as well. He knows how to him and obviously Josh Heupel. Have had success with quarterbacks. And I think that is enticing for any quarterback, whether you're a high school recruit or somebody, you know, looking for a new home in the portal.
Yeah. And hopefully Brown, even if he doesn't get the starting job. And again, even listening back, I obviously was conducting the interview, but, and I was listening at the time, but listening back to it now, it's like, he really talks a lot about Gary Bohannon's veteran presence and all that stuff,
you know. Yeah,
yeah, it seems to be leaning that way. And I, you know, again, not that this is Bohannon's last year in college, so not that, you know, there's a risk of losing him, so to speak,
right.
I hope they figure out a way to get Brown in the game. It was interesting, again, listening to his answer, he did rave about the athlete that Brown was, so you wonder,
he did.
Maybe,
I mean, you know, maybe there's something. Is a package or two where, you know, you can get him in four games. You can get him in four games, won't burn a red shirt. So, you know, maybe there's a world we see him hit the field a couple times.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe they put him in a Taysom Hill type role for
there you go.
You know, he can run gadget some stuff. Packages. Yeah, sure. Yeah. Why not? And he can I mean, look, he's got an arm. I mean, his first start, he completed his first 21 passes.
Right. Yeah,
and then we all saw what he did to lead a comeback against UCF. Yep. But, you know, I mean, he's immensely and that was all as a true freshman. It's amazing.
I know.
What's really stunning is he was the third string quarterback coming into the year. So how much did he improve behind the scenes that's what you got in the two games he finally came in. Yeah. So quarterback. Probably the biggest strength for this team that otherwise.
Yeah, seems I would say the QB or the running back room. I know we've heard Coach Golish really rave about that that position group in particular. Mm-hmm. I think they have a pretty good amount of depth there at that position.
Mm-hmm. My only concern, or my biggest concern, because I have a lot of concerns, but my biggest concern is, look, last year the offense put up some big numbers and big point totals against some good teams and just got outshot because USF's defense, which, and I'm kind of wearing this as an ode to Jim Leavitt, you know, that was the backbone of the school's identity. Its first, you know, 15 years, whatever it was. The defense is, I'm not going to use foul language on Isaac Edelman's channel, but
yeah,
it's what comes out of a bull. I mean, it's not been good for years.
No, but as bad as it was last year, it can only go up, right? Like they were, I think, almost dead last in just about every statistical category and in the FBS. So I feel like mathematically speaking, you have to be a little better. I mean, and also I think some of the additions they've made defensively through the portal, I think will help. And then I think the biggest, to me, I think the biggest difference will be Todd Orlando. I think a new defensive coordinator to help put guys in better positions to be more successful. I think that'll be the biggest difference maker.
Yeah, and I was thrilled they brought Kevin Patrick back as their D-line coach. He was here back in the heyday of the USF
War Daddy D-line. Himself, right?
Yeah. So now people can go to your YouTube channel to get your game-by-game prediction and learn a lot about your opponents like Rice.
That was one of the schools I was – that's one of the schools that I was hinting at earlier. I was like, some of these smaller programs that you really don't pay a whole lot of attention to on a college football Saturday. I was talking about you guys, Rice. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, I don't know that I've ever watched a game that involved Rice in my entire life.
I think I did, because like when I was still at school, UCF, they were in Conference USA. So I think UCF played them a couple of times, but that's about it.
I'm surprised your vocabulary is so strong for someone who went there.
Touche.
Give us your season prediction, then I'll ramble through my season prediction thoughts. But you know,
well, I mean, do you want me to go game by game, or you want to just
just overall final record? Go to your channel for the game by game.
Yeah. I got you. So I got them at 4-8. You know, I think that for one, I think that'd be a really nice step forward. Obviously, after only winning 4 games the past 3 years. I think anything like that, 4-8, 5-8, or 5-7 would be a really nice step forward. To me, I think that the toughest thing is that I'm someone, you got to prove to me that you can do it. And I have a hard time picking USF to win any road games because they have not done it since before the pandemic, 2019. I believe it was at ECU, maybe was the last one. So I had them losing all their road games, but I do have them winning a couple of home games. And you know, I mean, I still think there are a game or two that could be winnable. You know, they could win at Navy. I don't think that's impossible. You know, I think maybe they could shock FAU at home. I think FAU is going to be pretty good, but I don't think that's, you know, completely out of the realm of possibility. But yeah, overall, I think they go 4-8 and, you know, obviously not a great record, but it's a good step forward. That'd be a solid year one for Golish and company.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I agree with you on the overall take that 4 wins is good. And my thought, you know, I have a hard time going game by game because, you know, obviously we know they're going to lose to Alabama. But but outside of that, it's hard for me to look at the schedule and say, oh, they're definitely going to lose this game.
Right. Like
Western
Kentucky, that could be, I mean, that's a tough game. But it's not impossible. It's not Bama.
Right.
I would say, like, the two games I'm like, there's no way, is to me, it's Bama and UTSA, just because UTSA has been really, really good for the past, you know, couple of years. Yeah. And there's a chance they could win the American this year.
Yeah, UTSA is probably, I would agree, the second toughest. But again, it's one of those things where, look, last year, two of the better teams on the schedule, even though Florida sucked, USF absolutely should have beaten Florida. Oh, my goodness.
I covered that game. I was in the swamp for that game. I have no idea how they lost it.
Well, a center and a long snapper both forgot how to snap a football in the fourth quarter.
Was that Spencer Schrader? I think he was still the kicker. Yeah. Credit to him. He kicked that still pretty dang
sideways ball. For it
being sideways. He still got it pretty close.
It's one of the best kicks I've ever seen that missed. I mean,
honestly, but man, I felt so, I don't think I ever felt worse for Jeff Scott than in that moment. You could tell that absolutely tore him apart. Same with the players. Cause it was right there. They had it.
Yeah. And frankly, again, there was a big comeback involved and whatnot. It should have beaten UCF also.
To be fair, as I'm showing my bias here a little bit, I think if Plumlee stays healthy, that game's probably not close, but injuries happen. They're part of the game.
That's fair. It was, and they had other, they were hanging in with Tulane for a long time, which is probably the best team that they played. Maybe. I don't know.
I would argue. I mean, Tulane won the Cotton Bowl. They beat USC. They were incredible last year.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, they showed some, they've got ability. They had no finish in them.
Right.
So it's one of these things where I could see this team winning 2 games. I could see them winning 8 games. I don't think it's likely that either is the case. I think it's somewhere in between.
if they win eight games, just Golish is going to be hot on the radar for coaching searches.
Well, he'll probably be gone after the-
that'll be incredible turnaround to go from 1 to 8. That would be really impressive. But like you said, it's not totally out of the realm, but I'm not betting on that.
No, absolutely not, because winning is, I heard it last night, winning is a habit, you know, and USF is not in the habit. They went so many years, and look, they'll never get over the mistake of firing Jim Levitt. You know, that's look, myself and my generation of USF fans were still, even this past offseason, like, please, just, I know Levitt's old now, but please.
One more time, just for old time, for old time's sake. Come on, no.
Bring him in. Oh. Let him bring a coach in waiting. Promise him a statue and a, you know, we can name the new on campus stadium. We can name the field after him. Just
Jim Levitt Field. There you go.
Just rectify the situation for the damn man. But no, I would be shocked if they win less than 2 games. I would also be shocked they win 8 games. I would not be shocked if they win 6 games and get bowl eligible.
No, like I said, I think that is conceivable. Like, I do think they could, you know, win that Navy game. Maybe you win at UConn. UConn's not a powerhouse by any means. Mm-hmm. They are an improved team under Jim Mora. No denying that. They went to a bowl game last year after being, God, one of the worst programs for a long time. But, you know, those are winnable games. Like I said in my video, I think the real deciding factor here, like the idea of like what kind of USF team we'll see, is that Rice game. That's the first, that's the conference opener. Yeah. And it's your chance to beat an FBS team, which they have not done since, I think that was Temple a couple years ago, 2020 maybe. Yeah. Here's your chance. Now, I think you're better than Rice. You recruit better than Rice. I think you have more talent than Rice. But like you said, just winning is a habit. Show it to me. Make it happen.
Yeah. Yeah. And look, Temple was a team that that was the team that got Jeff Scott fired, I believe. I try to black out all of Jeff Scott era. And again, terrible for the man, but
I do as well. I think he was a great guy. I always enjoyed interviewing him. I thought he was very nice and you know, fairly easy to work with in terms of from a media perspective. But yeah, that Temple game, it was just one of those games that got out of hand. Also, USF was playing Catravis Marsh, and we know how bad that defense was. I mean, that just is one of those. Those kind of they talk about all the team, right? You just games you throw in the trash. You don't really watch the tape on that one.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's been the last few seasons for USF fans.
You could probably say that for a couple of games, actually.
Yeah. There's been quite a few. All right. Well, hey, Christmas morning is coming soon. Saturday, USF at Western Kentucky. It'll be exciting. USF
be a high scoring one.
Yeah. And look, a big question mark. We don't know, you know, they could go 0-12 and I would not be happy, but I would not be stunned.
Yeah.
But,
I understand.
Yeah. It'll be an interesting season. And, I hope, as someone who's gotten to speak with Coach Golesh, I think he has I like him. I think he's got a plan and we'll see. But I probably would have said that about Jeff Scott also. So
I totally get that. You know, like I said in my video, I tell USF fans, give him time, give him some time. I think you're already seeing some rewards in recruiting. I think he's starting to recruit pretty well. This class for 24, I believe recently it was the top class in G5. I don't know if it still is. This was like a week or two ago. So clearly he knows how to recruit to a certain extent, because this program won 4 games in 3 years. That's not easy to recruit that to kids. And, you know, on top of that, I like this offense. I watched it firsthand when it was at UCF, when Josh Heupel was there. I like the way they spread guys out, have guys outside the numbers, put playmakers in position to make a big play. And with the amount of athletes that Florida has, specifically in the Tampa Bay area, USF should be able to get some of those guys in and be able to put up a lot of points.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's a bright future for USF. And also, you know, on campus stadium, just got brought into the AAU, which is big for academics, which maybe will help with moving up to a big boy conference.
Absolutely. Conference realignment is never going away. So, you know, just be ready the next time around, right?
Yeah. Yeah, they took a mulligan on this round. Let's try again next time.
Exactly.
All right. Well, hey, folks, make sure you're subscribed to FL Teams. Hop over to Kenny's channel. Subscribe to him for some entertaining sports content as well. And, you know, we'll keep bringing you coverage of the USF Bulls and all Florida sports teams, professional and college, here on FL Teams.